Our next case this morning is United States v. Mota, case 101486. Mr. Espinoza.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Gilberto Espinoza, and I represent defendant appellant Armando Mota. This Court should vacate Mr. Mota's conviction and remand the case for a new trial because the government's Brady violation was inexcusable, egregious, and it deprived Mr. Mota of a fair trial. If Brady is to have any meaning, TFA Apanta's suppression of exculpatory evidence is the classic example of a Brady violation that this circuit cannot condone. This Court should also reverse Mr. Mota's conviction because the government's evidence is insufficient for a rational jury to find him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of attempt to distribute 500 kilograms or more of cocaine. The government, through TFA Aponte, obtained information that was exculpatory of Mr. Mota. He interviewed him approximately 5 days after he had been arrested. During that interview, Mr. Ponce, who was Mr. Mota's co-defendant, informed and told TFA Aponte that Mr. Mota was not guilty and was not involved at all in this drug transaction. In addition, he told TFA Aponte that his supplier was not Mr. Mota, it was this other person by the name of Teflon. TFA Aponte never prepared a report of that conversation, of that interview that he had with Mr. Ponce. He never disclosed that information to his supervisors. He never disclosed that information to the prosecutor's office. Even the prosecutor admits that his conduct is inexcusable. And for that reason, this court should not allow this conviction to stand. It should vacate it and remand it, though.
That information came out during trial, as I understand it, and there was full cross-examination of both the agent and Mr. Ponce on it?
Part of that information did come out at trial. What he testified at trial, Mr. Ponce, was that he had been interviewed by TFA Aponte, and that he told him that Mota had nothing to do, and he also told him that Mr. Mota was not his supplier. He did name the name of the other supplier, of his supplier, actually, person by the name of Teflon.
Probably not Mr. So.
Probably not.
There was a defense witness.
Excuse me?
Ponce was a defense witness.
He was a defense witness, but the defense did not learn of this information until trial, basically. It was not until that lunchtime before.
He didn't learn about Ponce having given this statement to the agent, but the defense knew about the contents of Ponce's testimony, right? Because he was the defense witness.
They knew that Ponce might testify that he told Aponte that Mr. Mota had nothing to do. What the defense did not know was what TFA Aponte would testify. And if you look at the record, volume 2, page 84 and 85, TFA Aponte is very dismissive when he's asked on cross-examination if he had interviewed Ponce and what he was told by Ponce. He made those statements as lacking recollection, that he did not really confess fully to the allegations here. In addition, later when he's asked again on cross-examination, but after he's in the rebuttal, he backs away even from that interview. He says that, "I don't recall having an interview. I don't even know if it was a formal interview." So what we did not know...
No, wait, who backed away?
TFA Aponte.
Aponte. What? Aponte.
Right. What the defense did not have was a contemporaneous record of that interview, because TFA Aponte never prepared a report of what was told during that interview. Well, and that is what prejudiced Mr. Mota's defense here.
Okay. The absence of a contemporaneous record, I don't understand to be a Brady violation. Okay. It may be sloppy police work. It may be good cause for impeachment. But the Brady evidence is the contents of the conversation, right? And that came out at trial. The biggest problem and concern I have with your case is, as inexcusable as Officer Aponte's conduct was, is that, as Judge Sykes has indicated, this did come out at trial, and I don't recall there being any motion for a mistrial or a continuance so that the defense could investigate this further.
Right, and I'll address the first part of your question here, and I think that the report, although it may not be necessarily mandated, I think under Brady, once Aponte got those statements from Ponce, he had a duty to disclose them, whether he did it orally or in a report. He
yes.
never did it. And the statement that he did not disclose was not just that Ponce had told him that Mota was not involved in the transaction at all, but that Ponce had named the supplier Teflon. And when it comes to time at trial, the defense did not really know what Ponce would be testifying, because he actually did not talk to the defense attorney until the lunch period right before he was put on the stand. So it was too late at that point to move for a mistrial. And even if we had a...
Why?
Because the government's position is that the government would most likely have granted a mistrial, but on this fact, I don't think the district court would have been inclined to grant such a mistrial.
It was an outrageous violation of Brady.
It
sandbagging is. The defense.
It is an outrageous violation, but what happened, but even if we had been granted a mistrial, the government would have been able to recall Aponte in the subsequent trial.
Sure.
And we still would not have that information about whether or not Ponce told Aponte that Teflon was the supplier. And
well, Brady doesn't protect you against a dishonest witness or a forgetful witness or a witness who doesn't take notes.
It protects Mr. Mota from conduct such as this where the information is unequivocally exculpatory.
But in a retrial, the defense would have had more time to prepare for both Aponte and Ponce, right?
Yes.
And, you know, why not? And look, this whole issue wasn't even raised at trial, right? We're under a plain error review standard, right?
For the Brady violation, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so no motion for a mistrial, no motion for a continuance. The defense decided to go forward as is.
Right, because when the defense goes forward, they have a witness who's likely testify on behalf of Mr. Mota, but what we have no control over is what Mr. Aponte is about to testify to. And when he testifies unequivocally that no, Mr. Ponce did not inform him of the name of the other person as Teflon, then we had no chance there to put the cat back in the bag. And that's why I think that this court should vacate the conviction and remand for a new trial so that then we can go through this process where we can seek to investigate Aponte, we can seek to try to identify if this person, Teflon, can be located, and also it will give the defense an opportunity to maybe seek to limit, if not potentially exclude, Mr. Aponte's testimony, because the fact that he did not record any of this conversation with Mr. Ponce cannot stand when he cannot show that when we don't have sufficient information to impeach him.
Now, you're appointed counsel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and part of the problem, that at least as far as prejudice, is that by not knowing about this fellow Teflon, there's been no opportunity before the trial to, I guess, try to find him or find more out about him or find whether this guy is a source. Maybe it's something that Mota could use to say he's a real source. Could be that Mota's even involved with Teflon. We don't know. But that's what – isn't that the only real problem, is that there is no opportunity to find out more about Teflon?
No, the real problem here was that Mr. Mota was denied a fair trial. because was that Mr. Mota was denied a fair trial because Mr. Aponte's conduct here was so outrageous. It shifted the balance of justice here towards the government. The government was able to put Mr. Aponte on the stand and have him testify to deny, contradict Ponce when there was nothing for us, the defense, to really counter that attack from the government. What really happened here was that Aponte, because he conveniently did not prepare a report of this interview, he was able to shift his testimony, which developed at trial, and he was able to just go back and forth with it. I see my time is up.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Haller?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The United States in no way defends Agent Aponte's completely inexcusable failure to disclose his interview of Ponce, but the purpose of Brady versus Maryland is not to punish law enforcement misconduct, but to ensure that the defendant receives a fair trial. And Mota here received a fair trial because his lawyer and he, at the time of trial, knew more about Ponce's and Agent Aponte's statements than the government's own lawyers did. And he made full use of those statements in his defense. He discussed what and previewed what Ponce was going to say correctly in opening. He called Ponce to the stand and adduced all of Ponce's information. And he cross-examined Agent Aponte about the fact that Ponce had made a prior consistent statement to him. And he also used that opportunity to essentially impeach and destroy Agent Aponte's credibility by revealing that Agent Aponte had not turned that statement over to either the defense or the government's own lawyers.
The alternative story about Teflon being the supplier was introduced during opening statement?
The statement that Teflon was a supplier, I don't believe that was mentioned in opening statement. Simply the fact that Ponce was going to come into court and say that Mota had nothing to do with it. That is what was introduced into court.
Okay.
Mota's lawyer did interview Ponce and say that the first time he had discussed his testimony with him personally one-on-one was mid-trial. But it was also revealed in the testimony that Ponce and Mota had discussed the case post-arrest and pre-trial. And it's the government's belief that Ponce's lawyer also was speaking with Mota's lawyer. So I don't think that there's any real argument that this Teflon position was a big surprise. And it's also, the point is that Brady versus Maryland requires three things. It requires that the evidence be favorable to the accused, which this undisputably was, but it also requires that the evidence be suppressed, and it requires that there be prejudice. And the evidence here was not suppressed, although it's obviously good police practice and usually required by internal department regulations to preserve these kinds of statements. There is no constitutional requirement, as Judge Hamilton pointed out earlier, to make a contemporaneous written account of the statement. The defendant's asking that this case be thrown out because there was no contemporaneous written statement and be remanded for a new trial. At the new trial, there's still going to be no contemporaneous written statement because we can't go back to October of 2008 and ask Agent Aponte to do the right thing. So I don't understand exactly what the remedy is. But at a minimum, as the defendant concedes, this is on plain error review. So he would have to establish not only that there was error in failing to make this statement, but that that error is plain, which he cannot do because he can't point to any case that requires such a contemporaneous written statement to be made. And he would then have to show that it's likely that the disclosure would affect his substantial rights. The only dispute between Ponce and Aponte's version of what was said during their conversation is that Ponce says, I told him that Teflon was a supplier, and Aponte disputes that. Aponte says, no, he did not tell me that. And that's, I believe, on transcript pages 2-132 to 133. So, I mean, the written statement would say Aponte disputes that statement. That's not a favorable statement in the first place. But as, you know, no one can go back and know exactly what the statement was. The two contemporary witnesses to the statement dispute that.
What's the status of Agent Aponte's investigation at this point?
Mm-hmm. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Indiana is recused from that investigation, so I know no more information than the defendant does. The case is being handled by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois.
Good idea. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Your Honor. We recused ourselves from that investigation immediately. He's no longer a federal task force agent, has not been for some time. I don't know anything else about his status other than what's in the brief.
Well, a contemporaneous statement of a conversation like this between an agent and a witness tends to be powerful corroborative evidence of what was said, doesn't it? I mean, it does
absolutely
take on a lot of importance in the course of these trials.
Judge Sykes, there's no dispute about that. There's no dispute that this statement should have been recorded, reported.
It should have been written down and reported.
Written down and reported, of course. Yeah, well, if it had been written down, yes, then it, again, should have been turned over to the U.S. Attorney's Office and then would have been turned over to the defense. But,
The point is only that the absence of the written record of the statement, at least arguably, might have made a difference.
And arguably is not enough to survive on plain error. The defense had a choice, okay? They discovered either pre-trial or at best, best for his position, mid-trial, that there was this statement that Agent Aponte had concealed, okay? And he could have moved for a mistrial. He could have moved for sanctions. He could have done many things. But the reality is the sufficiency of the evidence in this case is very strong, Your Honor. I mean, there's lots of evidence against.
He's on tape.
He's on tape, and I mean, this is a case where Contreras gave one version of what happened, and Ponce gave another, and the tape and the phone calls and common sense and logic all support Contreras' version, not Ponce's. So his best defense was to keep this statement back, and to use it offensively against the government, to use it to make the government look as bad as they looked in this trial, and make Agent Aponte look as bad as he should have looked, and use Ponce's statement as a surprise witness. Because even though Agent Aponte, sitting there, knew all about the statement, the government lawyers didn't. The government lawyers were caught flat on their feet with their mouths on the floor about how their agent had not done this. This was good trial strategy by defense counsel to try to use this. But what he doesn't get now is a second bite at the apple. The first strategy was the best strategy he had, but the evidence against him was still overwhelming. And Agent Aponte is under investigation. Agent Aponte was shown up in court. There's a lot that has gone on here. And as I said at the beginning, we don't defend this in any way. But this is the case of the United States versus Armando Mota, not the case of the United States versus Robert Aponte. And in the case of the United States versus Armando Mota, he received a fair trial.
Are you using this in training?
That's a good idea, Judge Hamilton. I don't know that we have specifically pointed it out. I mean, certainly we have done extensive training in light of many cases that have come down in the last few years, and we have pointed out the need to report and record every statement. So I know that the issue of agent reporting has been done extensively, and the U.S. Attorney's offices across the nation have been training all Justice Department agencies, and I know are now reaching out to other federal agencies. So, I mean, yes, training has been done, although I think the very basic point of when a witness gives you a statement, you need to report it is pretty basic. It's covered.
Other than Aponte's, his ongoing investigation, did anything ever materialize anywhere else on Teflon?
No, Your Honor. I mean, Judge Mannion, we don't believe that Teflon exists.
Okay, that's.
I mean, if Teflon does exist, we believe he's Armando Mota. So, I mean, we have.
Well, the only thing is, I just want to. Because sometimes people
oh,
like
sure,
to
Your Honor.
Turn up.
That's true, and we could be surprised by that. But as far as I am aware, we have never heard of anyone other than the fact that some of the things that Ponce says about Teflon, that he has connections to Texas, that he isn't always in the area, that he travels. I mean, some of them do bear some similarities to Mota himself. Some of them don't. But it's certainly our belief that Teflon is a made-up mythical figure. So nothing, to my knowledge, has come up indicating anything that would contradict that. And, of course, if it would, the government is, Agent Aponte notwithstanding, well aware of its obligations to turn over any type of material whenever it would be disclosed that would tend to suggest that Mr. Mota was innocent. Nothing of that has occurred here. I believe I've already, to some extent, in discussing the first issue, discussed our position that the evidence was more than sufficient here and that a reasonable jury easily could have and in fact did convict Mr. Mota here. Because under these circumstances, Mr. Mota received a fair trial, and because the evidence was sufficient to convict him, we would ask this court to affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Howell.
Thank you.
Mr. Espinoza, your time had expired, but I'll give you a minute to rebut if you would like to say something in response.
Thank you very much. Yes, Your Honor. And what I just want to address here is the fact that the report was not prepared contemporaneously, and as you indicated, it was powerful information that we would have wanted to have. What we won't be able to do, even on a retrial, is to impeach TFA Aponte, because without that report, there's no material that we can use to impeach TFA Aponte. Also, the government's allegation here that defense counsel for Mota and for Ponce were in contact communication, there's nothing in the record that indicates that that was happening. So I would like the court to just consider that there was nothing we could do, there's nothing we can do right now to get that report, as he testified. We can't go back to 2008. So, nonetheless, there is sufficient information here on the record for this court to vacate the conviction and send back for a new trial. Maybe at that time we can investigate Tefon and see if he is or not a mythical figure. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Mr. Espinoza.